Friends, wake up. The revolution is here.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Boy, friends, I think of the words that God spoke to Isaiah in Isaiah 51 and said, raise your voice like a trumpet. It's been how I've been feeling day in, day out in these critical times. I know that there are things that are very clear to me that I need to make clear to everyone, things that God has burdened me with that I need to share with others. And as I share them, I know many of you will say, yes, we see, we feel the same thing. A massive cultural revolution is at hand in front of our eyes. We either wake up and respond properly, or we don't even have to worry about apologizing to our grandchildren. We'll have to apologize to our children as of tomorrow. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. This is Michael Brown. I am delighted to be with you. I do have a certain right at certain times to say, I told you so. Normally in my life, it's others who have said to me, I told you so. And most prominently, my bride of 44 years, who will say, we need to do it a certain way, don't do it that way, told you so. A few years ago, Nancy came to me and said, you need to write an article and write about all the things that you predicted were going to happen with LGBTQ plus activism, whatever the terms were at that moment. She said, you need to write an article about all the things you said were going to happen that have happened, and people didn't listen to you, and you warned, and they didn't take you seriously. And you need to write an article saying, I told you so. Now, coming from my wife, that is a lot. In other words, for her to say, hey, you were accurate on this, you saw this in advance, she doesn't just throw those words around lightly. And I looked at her with a smile and said, I already wrote that article. I actually wrote it recently with a list and said, okay, do I have your attention? We said this and this and this and this and this were going to happen. We laid it out in advance. Now these things have happened. Do we have your attention? I'm telling you what's coming next. And sadly, still, many did not take seriously what we said was coming next. And those things happened as well. And I was not the only one sounding the alarm, raising my voice, sharing these things. It was self-evident to many, many others. And it was self-evident to others before I ever saw it. I've been stunned by comments of Francis Schaeffer in 1968, where he so clearly saw what was coming next down the pike. And now I and others, we are raising our voices, saying to each of you listening, to each of you watching, friends, we've got to wake up. We cannot downplay the significance of this moment. And every day it gets more blatant. And every day it gets closer to knocking on your door and my door, whoever we are, wherever we live. The cancel culture, the mobocracy is coming your way. A few years ago, Southern Baptist leader Al Mohler made the comment about same-sex, quote, marriage, that the knock was going to come at your door. In other words, if you thought, well, I'm just avoid this, I'll just kind of sit this one out, too controversial, whatever I say is going to look bad, if I stand against what I believe is a wrong direction in society, it's going to make me look like a hateful person, and it's just best if I say nothing and sit this one out. And Dr. Mohler said, you're not going to be able to do that. The knock is going to come to your door. Where do you stand? And in fact, that's what's been happening increasingly, not just in spiritual circles, but in secular circles. I have a friend who had a high-level computer job, computer programming job, whatever he was doing, at Bank of America in Charlotte, North Carolina. That's where the headquarters are. And he said, Mike, I see it coming. The noose is getting tighter, so to say. And by the way, he's not a white American, just he was minority for the record, okay? But he said, I see it coming. And what it was first there'd be things, you know, pro-diversity and so on and so forth, and try to get everyone to take a public stand and say we are pro-LGBTQ activism and so on. He said what they did is they added an ally list. So every person in the company had to respond, or at least everyone working in Charlotte in that building. Everyone had to respond. It was probably company-wide, though. And you were asked, are you an LGBTQ ally? In other words, do you stand for transgender activism? Do you stand for redefining marriage? Do you stand for all of these things? And so you had to answer yes or no. And if you did not answer with a yes, everyone that would pull up your name in that company would see you don't have the name there. You don't have that affiliation. And he said, got to the point where they squeezed him out. He literally squeezed out of his job. Now, he's gone into ministry. He's not crying over spilled milk, but he's a casualty of the cancel culture before it was even as prominent as it is now. And friends, what you must do, please hear me, all of you who are concerned about racial inequality, all of you who are concerned about the sin of racism, all of you who are concerned about any things in our system itself, systemic, systematic inequality, injustice, any of you who are concerned with that must separate that from this ugly movement sweeping the nation, from this destructive movement sweeping the nation, from this Marxist-driven, iconoclastic movement sweeping the nation, from this movement where one of the key leaders, Black Lives Matter movement leaders, Patrice Cullors, said in the video in 2015, we are trained Marxist activists. We studied under Bill Ayers. You say, who's Bill Ayers? Bill Ayers, or Bill Ayers, was one of the Weathermen underground leaders. And I'm talking about in the 60s, blowing up buildings in anti-war protests. Some of the most disruptive and destructive radicals of the 60s. Then he went on to become a college professor and a mentor of President Barack Obama. Look it up. This is not hidden information. Now she's saying, yeah, we were mentored. The pulling down of the statutes, the rewriting of history, or writing a history that is now satisfactory, whatever it is, and you conform or you're out. Friends, that's straight out of Marxist playbooks. And you don't need to be a prophet or a rocket scientist to see this. Here, let me draw your attention to something. Headline today, all right? Check this out. This is on Breitbart.com. Abolish Amazon. Mm-hmm. DC protesters set up guillotine outside of Jeff Bezos' house. Famously liberal, Jeff Bezos, the one who donated large sum of money to support the same-sex marriage movement. Jeff Bezos, now the enemy. According to a number of videos posted to social media, protesters in D.C. placed a model guillotine in front of Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos' Washington complex. A flyer for the event stated, end the abuse and profiteering, abolish the police, the prisons, and Amazon. A number of videos have been posted to social media that appear to show protesters placing a model guillotine in front of Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos' Washington complex. Along the guillotine is a sign reading, support our poor communities, not our wealthy men. So all the wealthy, the elite, the celebrities getting behind the BLM movement, which once more we separate from the important saying that Black Lives do matter. All right. All those getting behind this, they're coming for you next. They're coming for you next. Especially if you're white. Wake up to reality. When I say they, I mean the mob. This is not a black or white thing. This is a mob. Here, look at this. Drew Hernandez, the host of the web show Lives Matter, posted videos to Twitter that show protesters gathering near the guillotine. And I'm looking at a picture of this, a video, actually. In another video posted by Hernandez, protesters can be seen giving a speech stating, when they become threatened and we have no voice, the knives come out, while standing before the guillotine. The knives come out. Friends, if this is what they're saying to Jeff Bezos, who is not a professing Christian, who is not a professing Bible believer, who is totally, quote, woke in terms of LGBT activism issues, if they're coming for Jeff Bezos, if they've got the guillotine there, if they were saying in the place first called Chaz, then called Chop, in Seattle, What do you do? Chop, chop. Going back to the French Revolution, guillotine. You've seen people beaten up on the streets. You've seen the looting. You've seen the vandalism. You've seen the rioting. You've seen all this happening, friends. This is the reality right now. Violent, angry mobs being provoked by professional agitators, joined with people who are genuinely concerned about racism. And here's the genius of all this. Who in the world with a conscience is not going to be grieved by the death of George Floyd? Who is not going to want to hear Black American friends who say, hey, look, we've been trying to tell you this stuff for years, and we've been trying to tell you the system is against us for years? Who is not going to want to lend a sympathetic ear? I mean, obviously, some people are going to say, well, there are more to these narratives, or I don't just go along with some of the systemic injustice. Okay, I understand people are going to have questions or pushback, but this is such an opportune moment. And then you join this with an anti-Trump movement. Here, let me play a clip for you. This is a promotional clip. Just get the vote out. Our vote matters. But it's basically an ad for the Democratic Party. As one of the BLM leaders has said, we must get Trump out. All right, let's watch this.
Until Black people are free,
no one is fully free.
Because the issues that affect Black people the most affect everyone.
Everyone. Can you imagine an America
with no police brutality,
without mass shootings
and gun violence,
mass incarceration,
children in cages,
and racist immigration policies,
voter suppression,
environmental degradation,
racial injustice?
It's time to vote for an America
where our lives are valued and protected,
where police are held accountable,
where we have access to quality health care,
where we can thrive in school,
where our water is safe to drink.
It's time to vote for an America without
low wages
and low opportunity.
Vote for an America without
the oppression of white supremacy.
Can you imagine an America where oppression and fear are dissolved?
Where we are whole and healed? We are the most powerful voters in this country.
So we will not be distracted by the noise they make.
We are going to choose who leads us.
Those who truly represent us.
And vote out those who don't.
Vote you out.
We are going to show up and fight for what we need and vote for what really matters. We are what matters 2020.
Text.
By all means, get out and vote. Yeah, absolutely. By all means, get out and vote. That's something every American should do. But when you watch the clip, when you put two and two together, it is not just, hey, we are standing for racial equality. It's also standing for trans activism. It's standing for a host of other causes. That's all fine. Go ahead and vote your conscience. But this is now coming your way. You submit or else. Friends, the revolution is here.
Oh, God of burning, cleansing flame.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire. This is Michael Brown, 866-34-TRUTH. We'll get to your calls in a little while. If you missed it, Supreme Court, another disappointing ruling, and once again, a major disappointment from Chief Justice John Roberts, who, of course, was appointed by President George W. Bush. Here was the situation. There was a bill passed in Louisiana that said if you were going to perform an abortion, you must be able to, as a doctor, you must be able to admit the patient to a hospital within 30 miles. So you must have the paperwork, you must have the licensing in order to do that. Now, obviously, it's a pro-life bill, but it's simply saying if you're going to do this, you're going to have safety procedures in mind. Well, a similar bill in Texas was shot down by the Supreme Court in 2016. At that time, John Roberts voted for the bill, saying this bill is good, it's fine, it should go forward, but he was overruled, and it was a 5-4 vote the other way. Well, now the Louisiana bill, almost identical, comes back around. It was protested. Federal court upheld it, made its way to the Supreme Court. Okay, now you can fix it. Now you can make things right. What does John Roberts do? I still agree with the bill, but because we have precedent, I'm now going to side with the liberals and go 5-4 the other way. I mean, I understand there is a legal precedent. I understand the power of precedent in the Supreme Court. But when you voted for something the first time around and said, yes, this is good, and the court makes what you believe is a wrong decision, now you have the opportunity to make a right decision. I mean, didn't the Supreme Court undo wrong decisions it had about slavery and things like that, or black human beings being less than other human beings? Didn't it fix other things from the past? So, sadly, John Roberts disappoints once again. And another reminder that, yes, while we continue to work with the courts, and yes, while we realize that 99% of cases never make it to the Supreme Court, major cases that need to be decided and are decided in other federal courts, we understand the importance of having good justices in our courts. We understand that change is not going to come from the top down. It's going to come from the bottom up. It's going to come through God's people getting involved. I mean, how many of us that say abortion is wrong actually get involved to do something, other than maybe voting every 2 or 4 years? If we would get involved, things would change virtually overnight. And while we still want to see right justices appointed, look, I asked one day, I'll interrupt myself in mid-sentence to say this. I asked, a couple years ago maybe, please call in. I'm not going to debate you. I'm not going to argue with you. I may ask a question for follow-up. But please explain to me how you can be a born-again Christian, a Bible-loving Christian, a Jesus-exalting Christian, a pro-life Christian, a pro-family Christian, pro-marriage, solid Bible believer on these basic values, and vote Democrat. Now, I can understand someone says, I don't like either party, either candidate, I'm not going to vote. I said, so call me. I'm not going to argue with you. My point is not to debate. I want to understand. And I remember one caller said, I'm pro-life. I am pro-marriage. I oppose homosexual activism. I oppose abortion. But I don't believe the courts are going to change this. And I don't think it matters who we get in or not. And Reagan didn't change abortion, ultimately, right? I mean, still aborted a million babies a year under Reagan. And George H.W. Bush didn't change it. And George W. Bush didn't change it. Now Clinton, now Trump hasn't changed it, right? You know, to update until today. So I'm not going to vote for that. I'm going to vote for the other issues I think that we can affect. Now, I understand there are counterarguments to that. But you got to think, Roe v. Wade was 1973. How long have we been waiting just for one more justice? Now, the flip side is, if Hillary Clinton had been elected, what would the Supreme Court look like now? If Joe Biden is elected, what will the Supreme Court look like in the years ahead? And how radically will that tilt things in America? Those are big considerations. Those are major considerations as well. But more pressing to me at this moment is the issue of revolution in our society. Look, this has been my theme for 20 years, revolution. Not hate-filled, not violent, not trying to overthrow the government, but overthrowing a sinful status quo with the power of the gospel, with righteous living, with truly living out the gospel in the fullness of love and in the fullness of the Spirit, whatever the consequence, whatever the cost. It's been my theme. At a certain level, it's been a theme my whole life before I articulated it around the theme of revolution. Not rebellion, but obedience to God that causes us to go against the tide of the society. Friends, you will never change the direction of the society by swimming with the tide. Well, we're just going to be incorporated and be like everybody else. You be like everybody else, you'll go in the direction of everybody else. Be culturally sensitive, yes. Use language people understand, yes. Convey things in terms that people can relate to, yes. But we are swimming against the tide. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. The same world that hated Jesus will hate us. Fact, truth, Bible, history, reality. So we are counterculture believers. And I've been saying for years that there's a cultural revolution at hand. I've been saying for years, wake up to what's happening in the world around us. If there's not a Jesus people revolution and a great awakening, then we are going to see society continue to shift in dangerously wrong areas. We predicted years ago what was happening with LGBT activism, said early on, those who came out of the closet want to put us in the closet. Now you've got something bigger. Now you've got something larger. You don't just have big business behind this. You don't just have the secular media behind this. You don't just have the power of social media. You also have the physical power of the crowd and the physical power of a violent crowd. That's the reality. That's what we have in front of us right now. It is the ultimate cancel culture. One wrong word, One wrong tweet, you are out. You are discredited. You are disqualified. Hang your head in shame and do penance by getting out of the way. And if you have money, turn it over. I mean, that's where it will go. This has nothing to do with race. This is demonic. Let's fight the race issues in a righteous way. Let's not let that out of our sight. Let's use this opportune moment to talk through issues we should have talked through before and understand things that we need to understand better. Amen. Absolutely. I'll keep saying that. But what we're dealing with is not black versus white. It's not a race issue. It's a demonic issue. It is an issue of chaos and anarchy and destruction and lawlessness. I'm looking at let me play a clip, then I'll go to another headline. Let's look at clip number two. This is some of what is going on in America right before our eyes. This is some of the mentality we're dealing with.
Shows the officer actually plowing through this group of protesters. You see him actually starting to rev the engine a little bit, trying to get them off of his vehicle after they got on top of that. And then after that, he just started to push on the gas even more, ramming through them. You see some of them even falling off. A lot of those protesters even running after the police officers.
I'm looking at that. That looks to me to be a mainly white crowd, if I can see, right? And this is not my opinion here. This is not because they are so burdened about the killing of George Floyd. It's because this is an opportunity to take things out on the cops. Look, in the 60s, I'm not proud of this, but in the 60s, this was the ideology we held to. The cops were pigs, and all cops were evil. And part of it was they represented authority. That's what you have to understand. Yes, let's deal with police brutality. Absolutely. Let's not sweep it under the carpet where it exists. Let's deal with it. And I appreciate President Trump in this regard pushing for police reform immediately and putting forward some things by executive order. I appreciate that. And let's address that. Let's not let that out of our sight. But let's also call this for what it is. This is an attack on authority. And it's here. When you defund the police and the mob comes to your town, who are you going to call? Who are you going to call? One more clip. Again, I just want you to hear and see some of what is going on. Clip number three.
They can't stop the revolution!
Among the signs and chants here at this day of action, another prominent message: for all black lives. A reminder of the movement's commitment to all.
We've been screaming for a long time for people to recognize that what's been happening in black communities, that we're black, we're queer, we're mad, we're tired, we're frustrated, we deserve justice.
It was black LGBTQ women who started the movement.
People are finally recognizing the urgency.
Here too, black LGBTQ voices leading the way.
In this moment of time, it's about unearthing those stories and making sure that everyone understands and knows that our communities have always been here. We've been fighting for the same rights for all black people.
Last summer, Pride Toronto members voted against allowing uniformed officers to participate. And this month, Vancouver's Pride Society moved to do the same thing.
We see the kind of marrying of not only black activism, but LGBTQ activism, and it kind of came together and encouraged Pride Societies nationwide to finally pull the plug and finally make that decision.
Gay lives matter!
Gay lives matter!
Isn't that interesting? That was Canadian broadcasting. Identical things are happening in America. You think that just happened? It just happened that the Black Lives Matter movement somehow just joined together with the Trans Lives Matter movement and Gay Lives Matter movement and LGBTQ activism. It just happened? No, friends, this is why we are shouting at the top of our lungs, separate the truth that Black Lives Matter from the BLM movement. You do not want to be part of this movement. Separate yourself from it. Otherwise, if you are a conservative Christian in the midst of it, it's coming against you next. I'm warning as loudly as I can. Stand for justice. Stand against racism. Proclaim that black lives do matter. Yes, make that known, heartfelt, in every way you know how. And separate yourself from the BLM movement. It will soon turn and devour you. Please hear me, friends. Please hear me. We'll be right back.
fire we want, for fire we please. Send
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. I'll get to some calls in a little while, but so much going on in the world around us. It is just so critical that if I'm to serve you at all, if I'm to be faithful to God, and loyal to his calling to serve you on the radio, I've got to address these key issues. If you've listened regularly or just tuned in today, you heard me introduced as what? Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. We've been talking about this, friends, for years. And I've been writing about this and preaching about this long before I was on radio. Been on radio now over 12 years, daily talk radio, one of the great privileges of my life to do this. And by his grace, want to do it more and more and reach more and more people, especially with so many means available through internet and other TV, with our video feed and so on. We feel we're just beginning in terms of who we're supposed to reach and impact for the glory of God. But this theme of gospel-based moral culture revolution has been burning in me for years. And I want to take you back to 1999. I was at a big rally with colleagues of mine called Awake America. We were in New Jersey. We maybe had 9,000 people in the crowd. Tremendous spiritual environment. It was in the midst of the season of the Brownsville Revival, and our team would go out on the road. I would do teaching in the day. My colleague Steve Hill would preach an evangelistic message at night. Tremendous worship and prayer and massive repentance. I mean, I'm talking about literally thousands of people running to the altar to repent and get right with God. I'm an eyewitness to it, saw it over and over and over and over again. And this particular night, I had gotten up to speak briefly before the main message from Steve Hill. I would do that in the Monday night meeting, just a brief word of exhortation, encouragement, and then say, we have a full-time school of ministry. You can be trained in our school. Check it out. And this particular night, I had talked about how this group has come out of the closet. And this group has come out of the closet. Homosexual activists have come out of the closet. It's time we come out of the closet. By which I meant come out of the closet of our personal security, of the safety of our reputation, and take the gospel to the streets and be bold, open witnesses of Jesus. Whether it's on the streets, communities, whatever platform you have, be an open, unashamed witness of the gospel. I got back to my hotel room that night, and I normally don't put the TV on at all. Maybe if I'm just going to unwind a little bit or have a meal and put on a sports event, but normally I don't watch TV in a hotel. This particular night, I just flipped this on to public broadcasting, and a documentary was just starting that moment, and it got my attention. And it was about the rise of religious fundamentalism worldwide beginning in the late 1970s. And it focused a lot in Iran with Ayatollah Khomeini, and it focused on things happening in America with kind of like the conservative evangelicalism behind the election of Ronald Reagan. And it was fascinating. It's called God Fights Back. It's quite a fascinating video to watch and very unnerving in certain ways when you see the dedication of the Islamic radicals versus the dedication of the Christians. Now, of course, the Islamic radicals end up killing people, but they're also willing to die for their cause. That was not a second thought to them. So in any case, I'm watching this. And here's a rally for Ronald Reagan. And he gets up and says, I know that you can't endorse me, you know, Christian leaders, but I'm here to, I want you to know I endorse you. And there were key Christians that had worked together, some of the best known people in our nation, to get Reagan to run for office and to get elected. And in many ways, he did great as a president, although he really ended up having his close ties with some of those evangelicals severed once he was in D.C. Trump has been very different, by the way. And Trump, of course, a very different person than Reagan. But Trump has kept the doors wide open to the evangelicals that helped get him elected. In any case, I'm watching this. And it's a big convention center similar to where I just was. and a crowd of thousands similar to where I just was. And the speaker gets up and he says, the communists have come out of the closet, the homosexuals have come out of the closet, it's time we come out of the closet. It's almost identical to what I said. I didn't say communists, whatever I'd said, but almost identical to what I had just said, he said, but it was 20 years earlier. It was 20 years earlier, and we had only gone backwards in the society. It's kind of like you're watching this fitness motivational video, and you journal, yeah, this is it. I'm going to start doing this video, and I'm going to lose all kinds of weight. And then a year later, you find that video again, started again, and well, you're 10 pounds heavier. And then a year later, you realize, whoa, whatever I'm doing is not working. Maybe I'm going to have to adjust my diet and not just do these workout videos. Ah, in other words, a more fundamental change needs to come. That's what struck me that night. Now, my message was more about get out and preach the gospel. This message was more about get out and vote, okay? But I'm thinking 20 years has gone by, and America's in a worse moral and spiritual condition. On all the matters that were most important to us, we seem to have gone backwards. What in the world happened? So I was stunned. I was moved. I was grieved. And suddenly it struck me, we need a revolution. There has to be a revolution in the church. More of the same is only going to produce more of the same. Unless we mobilize the body, unless we get away from our spectator Christianity, unless we make some fundamental changes, things are only going to get worse. Wake up. And then a revolution in the church must lead to a revolution in society, by which I mean a mass awakening. Not a revolution of hatred or violence or intimidation or anger, but a revolution based on principles of the gospel, based on loving neighbor as self, based on the fullness of the Spirit, based on the standards of the Word of God, based on us being changed and we go out through the gospel and change the world around us. Otherwise, we're sunk. This became a consuming message. I wrote the book Revolution and then Revolution in the Church. And by the way, we're just so happened. Now, in the midst of all this, I get asked, Dr. Brown, can you put out an updated edition of your Revolution book? And the answer is yes. Coming your way September, October. Talk about for such a time as this. So in the midst of this, I'm watching all these things. I'm shouting. There are plenty of things I don't know. There are plenty of things I don't see. There are plenty of things in the body where others are wiser than me and more spiritual than me and have more insight than me. Plenty, plenty, plenty. Plenty of people understand things of the Lord better than I do. Plenty of people have more cultural insight than I do. Plenty of people are stronger in prayer and on and on and on. I'm just saying there's certain things I do know. There's certain things I am burdened about. There's certain things that are clear. And the upheaval that's been under the surface and growing and growing and growing and growing, it's now just out there. It is sweeping our country and it's not going to stop. And if it succeeds in pushing Trump out, you have to vote your conscience, of course. I'm not telling you how to vote. But one of the agendas of Black Lives Matter movement, and one reason for the extreme protest now, is targeted to get Trump out. Read my recent article, Why the Riots Now. Targeted to get Trump out. It's not going to stop if Joe Biden gets in. It's only going to accelerate because there is a cultural revolution at foot. And ultimately, it is Antichrist. Ultimately, it will swallow you up and devour you. So I have a question here. I have a question. Generally speaking, Black Americans are more conservative in terms of morality and family values than white Americans. Generally speaking. All right? So, for example, when President Obama was running for office in 2008, he knew, in order to have support from the larger African-American community, he needed to publicly say that he was against same-sex, quote, marriage. And he said, as a Christian, that's his view. Now, it was documented that years earlier, running for senator, he had said clearly he wanted to redefine marriage and would fight for that. And according to his campaign director, David Axelrod, that was always his conviction for years. He believed in same-sex, quote, marriage and wanted to redefine it. But in order to get elected, he knew he had to speak differently. Now, politicians lie all the time. Do I believe Donald Trump lies? Yes. Do I believe Barack Obama lied? Yes. I believe politicians lie. Not all politicians all the time, but politicians lie. And they'll change something to get elected. That happens all the time, sadly. Okay, so he knew in order to get elected that that was important. So what happens in California? California, he has a very, very strong turnout. Across the nation, strong turnout, historic black turnout. You can understand this is a major moment. The opportunity to elect our first black president, a major moment in American history. I just wish it had been someone other than Barack Obama so I could have had the privilege of voting for him. All right? I couldn't convictionally. But the point is, historic black turnout, for good reason, understandably. And yet California at that time was having a referendum on whether or not same-sex, quote, marriage should be legal or not. And overwhelmingly, black Americans voted against it. They voted against same-sex marriage. Overwhelmingly in California, they helped defeat that bill, Proposition 8. They helped defeat it. And they also voted for Barack Obama. This is very common that even homosexual activism that has been more white than black historically. One reason is, generally speaking, this is well known, this is seen in polls. Generally speaking, black Americans are more conservative in terms of family values, moral values, than white Americans in terms of what they would profess and hold to. All right? How then is it that the Black Lives Matter movement is pronouncedly, decidedly, loudly pro-gay, pro-queer, pro-trans? That you have a march, was it today or the last 24 hours? It was a Black Lives Matter, a BLM trans movement march with conflict with cops in New York City. How'd that happen? It happened because the thing got hijacked. It got hijacked, which is why I'm shouting out again. Yes, everyone, proclaim Black Lives Matter. Proclaim it and live it. And separate yourself from the BLM movement. This is a Marxist, ideologically driven cultural revolution that will come your way next. All right, I'm switching subjects when we come back, but I had to shout it out one more time.
Here's Doc. It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire. I have a brand new article up on the stream, Christ, Not Trump, is the solid rock on which we stand. My articles go out to a syndicated list every day. Normally over the weekend, I'll write an article that just appears on the stream. Every so often, we'll just post one on our own website. Otherwise, our articles go out to a number of different sites, and it's just an automatic thing. They're sent out, and they're posted. Here and there, someone won't post an article because it doesn't quite fit with their agenda or their, you know, where they're going on a particular day. But otherwise, I just send them and they get posted. What's interesting is I've been getting thank yous for this from the editors at these different sites. There's no, they just get them and post them. I've been getting a number of thank yous today for writing this. Christ, not Trump, is the solid rock on which we stand. Ann Coulter, 2015 on Bill Maher's show, when she was asked, out of the declared Republican candidates, who is the most likely to win the presidential election? She said Donald Trump. And the audience howled, and the people on the platform were like, what? People on the panel with her, what? Making faces. And then 2016, she wrote, In Trump We Trust. And now she is one of his worst critics. I mean, the names she's called them, I didn't even repeat in the article. I mean, some I did, Defective Man, or, you know, but Some were just too ugly, just too insulting to others. I didn't even do that. So this is what happens when you put your trust in a person. I don't care who the person is. That person gets elected to office, and you think they are going to be the ones to do it. And of course, she thinks he didn't do enough to stop illegal immigration, and she's upset with him for trashing Jeff Sessions, whom she likes, and so on. Doesn't know she'll vote for him in 2020, but I mean, the criticisms are harsh. And she once wrote in Trump We Trust, I remember seeing the book title thinking, nope, I will vote for Trump, but I do not put my trust in Donald Trump. And whoever you vote for, don't put that kind of trust in a person. Yeah, I close this article by quoting from the old hymn. In fact, I'm just going to scroll down to the end, get the words exactly right. My hope is built. Now, look, this is about the gospel. It's about salvation. But I want to say it on a larger level when it comes to the nation, seeing the nation changed in positive ways. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ, my righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Friends, that's one of the reasons I wrote the book, Evangelicals at the Crossroads, Will We Pass the Trump Test? You can order on our website if you want to get a special offer for signed, numbered, first printing, special collector's edition with a free book with that. Go to my website, AskDrBrown.org. You can just go to Amazon today. The book comes out July 13th, so go ahead and pre-order now. You can order the paperback or the Kindle version, Evangelicals at the Crossroads, Will We Pass the Trump Test? See, listen, the elections are very important, absolutely very important, no question about it. But there's something far more important than the elections. That's the conduct of the people of God. Here, picture this. You are an athlete. You are now on international TV in the biggest game of the year. And you win, and your team wins. But in the midst of it, you have a complete meltdown. You end up getting into a violent fist fight. I mean, you're the reason your team wins. Now you get into a violent fist fight. You are kicked out of the game. You go on a tirade afterwards, all right? And it's captured on video. The whole thing is captured on video. That's going to be remembered a lot longer. That will be remembered for the years to come. The moment your name comes up, that's what's going to be remembered. So more important than winning and losing is your conduct in the midst of it. Now, I'm not saying just be nice. You know, nice guys finish last stuff. We can stand. We can stand. We can speak. We can do what is right. Absolutely. But please hear me. The most important thing is our witness as believers. The most important thing is that we pass the test of how we conduct ourselves, that we keep the cross before the flag. So in Evangelicals at the Crossroads, friends, I lay out the case against Trump as clearly as I can. I read a lot of books bashing Trump from conservative evangelicals, from non-believers, from every viewpoint. I interacted with strong never-Trumpers, and I do my best to present their argument strongly and clearly. So your argument, if that's your position. And then I give an honest evangelical response, point for point, weighing out the issues, trying to show another side. And I mentioned this the other day. An editor was reading the book, A Never-Trumper, and he said, you got to get this out. It's going to convince millions of people like me. We need to vote for Trump. That was not my intent in even laying the arguments out like that, as much as to lay them out honestly, to help you understand where we are at the crossroads, friends. And then to give us a 10-point strategy. And I'll break some of that down as we get closer to the book release. To give us a 10-point strategy of how to live, of how to conduct ourselves, of how to be involved in politics without selling our soul for a seat at the table. And I think whatever your background, especially if you're a believer, whether you're pro-Trump, anti-Trump, in between, I think the book will be tremendously helpful to navigate the way to go, to navigate how to live, to navigate what matters most in the days ahead. And to give you clear perspective of some of what's up, what we're facing with the elections. Hey, having said all that, and you know, friends, I'm just giving you the raw reality. Okay, I am just sharing truth with you. Okay, I'm just pouring out my heart and being honest and let the chips fall where they may. And friends, I hope you understand this is not political. This is spiritual. This is not political to me. This is spiritual. If you could stand with us, we could reach even more people. I know many of you, when I write an article, you share it immediately. I've been a guest on radio shows, and they say, oh, Dr. Brown, great to have you on, but we talk about your articles almost every day. This is kind of the where we get the material for our shows. I hear from pastors who thank me for getting the message out and saying, great, this gives me clarity in terms of how I want to address things. So by God's grace, we know that we're able to serve others, but we have opportunities to amplify this message even more. For every 1,000 people I speak to, it could be 10,000. For every 10,000, it could be 100,000. For every 100,000, it could be 1,000,000. For every 1,000,000, it could be 5,000,000. We have doors open before us, and with your help, we can reach more people. If you ever came and visited our operation, you'd say, you do so much with so few. Yes, because folks are dedicated and pour themselves in. And this is where you can stand with us in these critical times. We are a nonprofit ministry. Everything that comes in goes back out to change lives. If you're watching on Facebook right now, we only started doing this last week, and we so appreciate your support. There's a donate button right there. Click on that, and your gift of any size, just say, hey, we're standing with you, Dr. Brown. It can be a dollar gift. It can be a $10 gift. It can be a $100 gift, but it's your way of saying, hey, we're standing with you. We're holding your hands up. Remember in Exodus 17, as Joshua was fighting the Amalekites who had attacked the Israelites, when Moses would hold the rod up, they would win. And then when his arms would get tired, he'd drop it, they would lose. So Aaron and Hur put a rock, sat him on the rock, and then one got on either side and held his hands up with the staff, and then Joshua prevailed. That's what I'm saying. One of you grabbed me by the right hand, the other by the left hand. Hold my hands up. So many of you pray for us. Thank you. But you can help with your financial contribution. So click on donate on Facebook. If you're watching on YouTube, right in the bottom of the screen, see that dollar sign? Click on that, the bottom of the chat box. Click on that. Your YouTube gifts will help us reach many, many more people. And if you're listening on radio, by podcast, maybe you're just joining us on the Edify podcast, maybe you listen on the Charisma podcast, maybe you listen on iTunes. We're out on lots of different platforms. Stand with us by going to our website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, and click on donate. Your one-time gift helps us tremendously. Or if you can become a Torchbearer, a monthly supporter, $1 or more per day, qualifies you to be a Torchbearer. And then we pour back into you. Just go to the website, click on donate monthly, and then look at all the ways we pour back into you with special content and access to online classes and other things like that. And friends, I want you to hear me. I'm not discouraged. I am not in the least bit discouraged. In fact, we're here for such a time as this. I met a neighbor, moved into our neighborhood, met them for the first time, the husband and wife of the couple, met them for the first time, I guess about 2 weeks ago, asked what kind of business he's in, you know, sharing the gospel, my background ministry and what kind of business he's in. And well, they do medical supplies, but they do hand sanitizers and face masks. I said, are you kidding me? What a time for your company. He said, oh, really? Suddenly millions of dollars just came pouring in. He said, but we've been giving away stuff, giving away. We're just enjoying doing that, helping schools and others, just giving stuff away. He said, let me know if you need anything. It's like, yeah, I wish I knew you were doing this, because they lived there for a while. We just never met. I wish I knew you were doing this some months back when you couldn't get masks or hand sanitizers. In any case, that's how I feel. This is our moment to help you, serve you. Friends, don't look down. Don't be discouraged. Look up. It's time for the greatest move of God our nation's ever seen. Let us seize the moment.